With the recent passing of author Harper Lee, her great classic To Kill a Mockingbird is again in the news. In fact, it's never been far from public consciousness since its publication back in 1960. It's been read by generations of students and adults, and less than a year ago, an earlier draft of the work was released with some controversy. Set 20 years after the story we know of in the novel, this one, called Go Set a Watchman, portrayed several of Mockingbird's characters rather differently. But thanks to an upcoming stage adaptation of the story at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, we're about to have a chance to experience a vivid live rendition of this iconic tale. Directing it is Eric Ting, the newest associate artist at the Playhouse, and he's here to tell us more. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks so much, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Let's start with a quick note. What does it mean to be an associate artist?
Oh, and, you know, it's a program that Blake Robeson has started here at the Playhouse. Blake will say this better, but I certainly see it as an opportunity for Blake to engage with a broader array of artists in the way that he strategizes around the theater and to have them become sort of integral components of the artistic life of the organization. And so we get to involve ourselves with season planning conversations. You know, he brings us in to direct a show once a year, and then we work to create some sort of program within the community as well.
So it's sort of like being a guest director, but with continuity.
Or a guest director with benefits.
There you go. Great. That's great. As many of us who've read Harper Lee's Pulitzer Prize winner, To Kill a Mockingbird, it's set in Depression-era Alabama. It's told by an insightful tomboy named Scout. She and her brother Jim witness their father, Atticus Finch, a small-town lawyer who courageously defends Tom Robinson, a black man who's unjustly accused of a crime he did not commit. Can you talk a little bit about what drew you to this production as the first show that you would stage at the Playhouse?
Sure. There's a number of answers to that. First and foremost, certainly, is just the opportunity to engage with such a beloved story. I think when Blake sort of sent me a list of titles to think about, it was really the first one that jumped out at me. Partly because, you know, it's a rare opportunity in the professional theater these days to be able to work on a show of this size and scale. And it's because of how beloved the story is that a theater can sort of make that investment in a production like this. I think most importantly, though, it was about sort of how To Kill a Mockingbird, for me, was capturing a kind of zeitgeist here in this country. You know, I think of that book as a book that was published sort of at the very beginning of the civil rights movement, and that there's something about that novel. I mean, it's about so many things. It's about kindness. It's about teaching kindness to our children. But it also feels very much like a kind of call to white allies to stand up and stand with the rest of these people fighting for freedom in this country. And it was one of those situations where I feel like we find ourselves now at a similar moment in time. And so there are these amazing resonances within the story that continue to sort of smack of a kind of contemporary idea.
The fact that I'm going to make an assumption here that you are of Asian descent.
I am Chinese American.
Okay, thank you. Does your perspective on that bring something additional to this work?
Well, I think partly it allows me to step out of the kind of fundamental tension of black and white in this country. It's always been a fascination of mine personally. You know, partly it's I am both an artist of color and a person of color, but simultaneously I belong to a minority of people that within this country has had a very sort of, one might suggest, different experience from other minorities. To me, it's been a great gift to be able to sort of come at this story from a purely objective space, but having a kind of relationship to both sides as well. I find To Kill a Mockingbird very much to be a story about whiteness in America. Harper Lee was sort of quoted as saying that this book for her was really about trying to capture a sort of disappearing middle class from the Deep South. And it's a very particular moment in time, 1935 America. It's in the midst of the Great Depression. You know, the sort of echoes of the Civil War remain kind of everywhere in some way, shape, or form. And you see a culture and a community struggling to sort of understand where they are going, where they are moving to. And it comes with the sort of consequent conflict.
Mm-hmm. I understand that your concept for this production is a bit more contemporary, that you're placing the story quite consciously in a bare theater and it sort of comes to life. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I suppose the formal choice of the production is contemporary, but, you know, we're very much not trying to take the story out of the world that people are familiar with. But I certainly use as a primary inspiration Thornton Wilder's Our Town, which is also a very old play. And, you know, I think what was so remarkable about Our Town was the way within which Wilder was able to capture a kind of authentic experience of small town America, but to do it with virtually nothing on stage. You know, he talks about that as sort of stripping away the artifice of the theater and allowing the truth of the human stories to be present. And in the theater, we're always looking for complexities in characters. It's that complexity and that nuance that actually makes people on stage feel real and feel familiar to us. And so we're going out of our way to elevate the human stories of these people within this community, to put them on stage, to allow them to be complicated.
I presume people are costumed in the period.
They are. They're costumed in the period. Okay. But the idea is not so much a contemporary set as it is an empty theater, so that audiences will be arriving and they will be seeing a sort of an empty space on stage, and it will feel like the theater to them.
This adaptation should not be anticipated by people to be like the movie or like some sort of TV production that tries to be very literal with the story. This adaptation by Christopher Sergel is narrated by Scout, who's now an adult. Jean Louise is her real name. But what you are doing is slightly different even than the way that, that when this has been produced otherwise, where she's middle-aged, now she's quite a bit older.
Right. She's not even middle-aged. She's often portrayed as the age that she was when Harper Lee wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, okay. Right? And so I think one of the choices that we made early on, which I'm so excited about, was we cast Dale Hodges in the role of Jean Louise Finch, the narrator. The impulse behind that was to tell this story, but because it's happening live, it's happening in the moment, to tell the story from a woman who more closely resembled Harper Lee as she would have been today.
And Dale is a beloved local actress who many of our WVXU listeners will be pleased to see on stage. And Dale, I think, brings an interesting quality of someone who you can imagine as a youthful character. She has that kind of energy to her.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing watching her with the children on stage because she's sort of like, you see her sort of become like 30, 40 years younger when she's with the kids acting.
Well, that will be very exciting. I gather that you read this book when you were in high school. Do you have memories of that moment in your life when you first were exposed to it?
Oh, I loved it. You know, I grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia. When I spoke to a lot of my friends about this book, you know, my experience of the book was similar to theirs in the sense that it was really one of my first encounters with racism as an idea in literature, as an idea that I could wrap my mind around. I was pretty young when I read it, I think. It would have been probably even early junior high school.
Okay.
And so it was a really special story to sort of have unfolding for me. And I read a lot of books when I was little. It was sort of like my thing. I used to sit around in the corner of my bedroom and just like go through stacks of books. And I read this probably twice. I just couldn't stop reading it. And then I wanted to read it again.
Well, I suspect that people will perhaps be motivated by seeing the show to want to go back and read the novel again.
Too. Certainly hope so.
Yeah. I wonder if you have any comments that you'd like to offer just about if this is living up to your expectations of your first production at the Cincinnati Playhouse. How's that going for you?
The Playhouse has been remarkable. I mean, what an amazing company of artists and administrators and just what a great, great arts institution. Mm-hmm. I think it's been really special being up there on Mount Adams. No one warned me about the number of steps there would be to climb up to the theater. But even in the few opportunities that I've had to see shows and to watch audiences in that theater watching the plays, I've been really sort of blown away by the kind of generosity of the folks here and of the sort of sense of family that there seems to be up there.
We are a lucky city, I think, to have an institution like that, but also the audiences have been shaped by the quality of theater that happens there.
Absolutely.
I believe.
So. And I also think it's sort of really exciting that Blake has created a space that invites a kind of more complex approach to even a story like To Kill a Mockingbird, that it is true that when we came into this production, Ghost Side of Watchmen had not been published yet, so we had not read it. We didn't know what it would be. And we certainly didn't recognize it for the controversy that it would eventually become. But this idea of looking at a more complex Atticus Finch was always there, even before the book came out. And what the book presented, like for me, I don't see it as a rejection of the Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird. If anything, it draws a more flawed human being, which to me is a more human human being. And I'm just very struck by this idea of an Atticus Finch who, like all of us, wrestles with his demons, but when confronted with his children, with what it means to raise a child in this world, aspires to be a better person, aspires to be a better role model. And that's something that we've been working really hard to capture in this.
For those of you who want to see this perhaps slightly new take on Atticus Finch, you'll be able to see To Kill a Mockingbird. It's been in previews this weekend at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Opening night is Thursday on the Robert S. Marks main stage, and the show continues through April 3rd. For more information, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. My guest this evening has been Cincinnati Playhouse's newest artistic associate, Eric Ting, who's staging the classic story of To Kill a Mockingbird. Thanks for stopping by, Eric.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.